Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. In today's episode, we are going to continue our position preview series, and we're going to take a look at the Angels outfield, and we are joined by Jeff Fletcher of the Orange County Register. So this was a very fun interview and a very good look at the Angels' 2021 outfield and some of the options beyond, including Joe Adell and Brandon Marsh. But before getting into the episode, as usual, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94, my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates, and if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Wednesday. We are a mere 4 days away from spring training games being back live in action. So I think I speak for everybody listening that this is an exciting week. It's good to have baseball back. We also have some pretty competitive college baseball back. I don't know if anybody happened to tune into the Vanderbilt game on Monday, but we saw both Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter starting games for Vandy. Both of those guys are potential top five picks in this year's draft. So we've got a lot of baseball going on right now, a lot of exciting things on the way. So like I said at the top, we are talking with Jeff Fletcher of the Orange County Register today. We're going to talk about the Angels outfield. This conversation was a little bit shorter just because it's more straightforward than the infield. It's Mike Trout in center, two veteran outfielders, and then two very, very highly thought of prospects who are basically MLB ready at this point. So before doing so, I did want to touch on one piece of Major League Baseball news, and not much else has gone on besides this pretty significant story. I don't know if you happen to be following it, but the now former Mariners president and CEO, Kevin Mather, stepped down after video surfaced of him speaking at a Rotary Club earlier this month and just had some really reprehensible, disgraceful statements. He made some racist jabs at some of the international players in their system. He made some demeaning comments about their longtime veteran Kyle Seager. He talked about service time manipulation for some of the prospects. It was a really ugly situation all the way around, and it kind of woke a lot of people up to some of the issues that are going on between front offices, or more specifically MLB ownership groups and some of the players right now. So if you haven't checked that out, I strongly urge you to go check it out. I'll link a couple of things in the description, but kind of the most important thing going on in baseball right now, other than the fact that we've got spring training on the way. But with that being said, here is the interview that I had with Jeff Fletcher of the Orange County Register about the Angels outfield. All right, I am very excited to be joined by a special guest, familiar voice for Angels fans. We've got Jeff Fletcher of the Orange County Register. Jeff, thanks for doing this, and how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So we are going to dive into the outfield today, and it's interesting. This has always been one of the strong points for the Angels, mainly because of the guy they've got in center field. So we can start off there. Mike Trout, best player in baseball over the last decade, hasn't really slowed down in any meaningful way. Was just voted as MLB Network's best player once again, three-time MVP award winner. The Angels expecting basically the same thing once again in 2021. Is there really much more to say about Mike Trout at this point?
You know, what's funny is I notice as the years have gone on now, and when I were doing like preseason stuff and people are interviewing me about the Angels, we never even talk about Mike Trout anymore. Like, I don't think I have written the word Mike Trout since spring training started. Because it's just like a given. It's just like a constant that you know you have the best player in the world. He's going to be out there, and he's going to produce his normal numbers. And even last year's numbers, which were like the worst of his career, it was fifth in the MVP voting. And it's still, you know, a great season by any standard. So it's just kind of funny how people have so taken him for granted that it's not even like a thing to talk about anymore.
Yeah, it's funny. I think the most obvious place you kind of see that is in the way the media talks about him. And maybe this is something to do with the fact that, like you just talked about, he's great every single season. He's like the best player pretty much in any given season. But we always have these conversations about, is Mookie Betts better than Mike Trout? Is Christian Yelich better? It feels like every year there's just like a rotation of this new guy. And I think that speaks volumes to Trout in general. So you did talk about his somewhat down numbers last year. I don't think anybody's genuinely concerned about the offense. The defense has been kind of fluctuating back and forth. It was pretty bad last year, but it was such a small sample. Do you buy into those numbers? Do you think Trout still has that center field job basically until he's forced to absolutely move off the position?
Well, I don't know what forced means. I think that both Jordan Adams and Brandon Marsh are probably better pure center fielders than Mike Trout is right now. And when either of those players are ready to be major leaguers every day, I think that Trout would probably go to left field or right field maybe. Is that going to happen in 2 years, 3 years? I don't know. I don't think Trout's going to play in center field when he's 39, but he's certainly going to have it for a few more years. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a really good left fielder too. So I don't think that that's going to be, you know, an issue for anybody. I mean, Torrey Hunter, basically, it's what happened when Trout came along, is Trout moved Torrey Hunter off to the corners. And I think that Torrey Hunter was obviously a much better center fielder than Trout. Well, not much better. He was better. And so I think it's natural that Trout is going to go to the corners at some point.
So we'll touch on those prospects that you mentioned here in a little bit. I do want to talk about the other guys that are on the MLB roster at the moment. It's weird because in years past, you had Cole Calhoun in right field, Justin Upton in left for, you know, a couple of years. That tandem or that trio was pretty good. This year, it's a little more, there's more of a mixed bag. Justin Upton has been on and off the last couple of years. Newcomer Dexter Fowler might not be all that great in right field. I first want to touch on Justin Upton, though. He was hurt, not very good in 2019. Last year, started off just dreadfully, turned it on the end of the year. But really, you've got a guy that's been replacement level the last couple of years. Do you expect to bounce back from him? What's your expectation for Upton at this point?
I mean, Upton basically had a really good month and a really bad month. And that was the whole season. So it's hard to really say what he would have done if he would have had 6 months to play like a normal season. And I think also that the really bad month kind of can snowball on itself, because in a regular season, if you have a bad 2 weeks, it's like no big deal. But in a season like that, when you have a bad 2 weeks, it really makes you start to panic a little bit. And then the bad 2 weeks becomes a month. And then all of a sudden that's half the season. So I think that's probably a little what happened to Upton last year. I don't think that we're going to have the Justin Upton of, you know, his prime anymore, where he's, you know, could put up a 900 OPS. I think that it's very realistic, though, to see him in the 800 to 820 neighborhood, you know, 790 maybe at the worst. And I think that's, it's not great for a left fielder, but it's certainly better than what he did last year. So I think that that's still probably in there for him.
So moving on to right field, I mentioned Dexter Fowler before. Didn't cost all that much to get him. He's making slightly less than $2 million with the Angels this year. Tell me if I'm wrong. It feels like the plan is to just not have a complete disaster in right field to start the year. And at some point you get Joe Adell or Brandon Marsh to come up, because I'm not sure Fowler's going to be all that good. But as long as he's not a complete zero at the position, I think they're going to be okay. So what's kind of your understanding of the plan right now?
Well, I think that you can't really talk about Dexter Fowler without talking about Joe Adell. And Joe Adell last year had a 458 OPS, if I'm not mistaken, which is just terrible. And you cannot put him out there again without, you know, you've got to put the expectation that he's going to clean some things up and be better. And I think they very much expect that will happen, but you have to force it to happen basically by having a bar for him to jump. Basically, if I could digress a little bit, a lot of times people, you know, when teams aren't good and they say, well, I want the young guys to play. I want the young guys to just get all the opportunity and all the at bats. But if you don't have veterans that are there as the bar for those young guys to pass, they don't really learn. It's a bad example to set if you're just going to send a guy out there and let him hit 150 and just leave him out there and just not have any penalty for that, basically. So I think that's what Dexter Fowler is. He is the guy for Joe Adell to beat out. And I think that Joe Adell probably learned a lot about what went wrong last year. I think everybody still thinks he's a very good player. And everybody probably expects that at the end of the season, he's going to be the everyday right fielder. So it's just a question of like having a safety net, basically, until he gets there. And is that going to take 1 month? Is it going to take 2 months, 3 months? I don't know. But I think I would be shocked if Joe Adell is not the everyday right fielder on July 1st.
Coming up here in a bit, we're going to finish this conversation with Jeff. But first, let me tell you about Built Bar. So these Built Bars are delicious, and they're perhaps their best ones yet. I received a box about a month and a half ago, and immediately they were gone. I tried out a variety of different flavors, decided to invest in cookies and cream, coconut, and mint brownie flavors, and again, those ones were gone right away. These bars are some of the best protein bars I've ever had. They're delicious, covered in 100% chocolate, and maybe most importantly for me, they're healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy or gal. They work as snacks throughout the day. I was having them a lot before bedtime as a little late-night snack, and these things are so, so good. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. They always offer the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. They have everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So right now, go to rockauto.com and write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box so they know we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents, More Than the Game. Right now, you can hear Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball to discuss the opportunities and challenges that come with being a Black woman in sports. So go subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast from.
Yeah, that sounds about right. With Adell and Marsh both getting some AAA time to start the year, I think that's probably the best for their development. I guess I kind of want to round this all off by talking about those two guys. So we've talked about Joe Adell. We know he was a top prospect last year, but Brandon Marsh is starting to get even more buzz than he got before. I believe Kylie McDaniel at ESPN had Marsh at number 15 on the prospect list. So there's a real chance that both of these guys are starting at some point for the Angels in the future. How important are both of these guys for the direction of the organization and really the success that this team could possibly have over the next couple of years?
Let me just say on Marsh, first of all, I wouldn't put him in the same sentence as Adell, which a lot of people seem to be doing, because let's not forget, Brandon Marsh never even played AAA. You know, Adell had a month of AAA at the end of 2019, and we saw last year that a month of AAA is really not that much to prepare you to be a big league player. And Brandon Marsh is basically behind where Joe Adell was this time last year. And Joe Adell also, remember, was considered a better prospect than Brandon Marsh, even though all the buzz about Brandon Marsh getting better and he's moved up and he's, you know, number 25 in some rankings or whatever, Joe Adell was like 3. And we saw what that looked like. So let's just pump the brakes a little on Brandon Marsh. Let's let him actually play in AAA and see what happens. And I'm sure that he's going to be in the majors by the end of the year in some capacity, and he's going to have a chance to be an everyday player, you know, for the Angels eventually. But I just wouldn't put him and Adell as like they're tied right now, and like one of them is going to be the guy. I think Adell is significantly ahead of him as we speak.
Okay, I've got one last question for you. I guess I'm putting you on the spot with this question. When's the first time that the Angels are going to roll out a Mike Trout, Joe Adell, Brandon Marsh outfield? When's that going to be like their go-to unit for the foreseeable future?
I'll say September. I'll say that could happen in September this year. And actually, if that does happen in September, I would say that might not be a good thing for the Angels. So if that means that Upton is basically, they've given up on him, because he's still supposed to be the guy. And if the Angels are out of the race, I think you'd be more likely to see that trio out there. But, you know, it could happen in September.
All right. Good stuff as always, Jeff. Before I let you get out of here, where can we follow you on Twitter? And do you have any stories that you want to plug right now?
Twitter is Jeff Fletcher OCR. And I don't really have any big stories going up at the moment. This is, you know, ever since we've gone into Zoom world for spring training coverage and baseball coverage in general, it's really difficult to get any kind of a big special story, because we just talk to whoever the Angels serve up for us every day. So we're pretty much going through the new players on the roster. When the Angels let us talk to them, we will be talking to Mike Trout here pretty soon. And then I'm sure it'll be real interesting to hear from Albert Pujols in a few days to hear what his thoughts are on his last year of his Angels contract. And obviously Joe Adell is another guy that I really am looking forward to hearing from to just talk about, you know, what we've talked about today.
All right. Good stuff, Jeff. Thank you for joining Locked On Angels.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. Big thank you to Jeff Fletcher of the Orange County Register for joining the show. If you're listening to the show, you're probably familiar with his work, but if you're not doing so, definitely go give him a follow on Twitter. Follow his work at the Orange County Register. It's very difficult to find someone who's been as consistent and committed to covering the Angels in the last half decade to 10 years. So yeah, make sure to go check him out. In terms of what is coming next on Friday's episode, I have a conversation with Rhett Bollinger of MLB.com. He's the Angels beat reporter. We talk about the Angels rotation and some of the issues that they've had recently, and if some of the offseason acquisitions that they made are going to be enough to help bolster this rotation up in 2021. But in the meantime, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there, and we will talk some Angels baseball on Friday.